time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we are so glad that you've joined us on Radio Friendships today. Radio Friendships, the program that should be equipped with standard equipment, a pen and paper, because there's going to be a lot of information that you may want to tie into. If you're one of those people that are interested in advancing the kingdom of God, please go get a pen and paper just in case. Well, today we have from New Mexico on the phone with us, Aaron Taylor, the president of the Great Commission Society. He is tied in somewhat with the God Story Project. Actually, you'll be much better at telling us what this is all about. So first of all, welcome to Radio Friendships, Aaron.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be on the program with you.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about your connection with Dorothy Miller and the God Story Project?
Okay, sure. My wife and I are missionaries, and we've traveled the world in many different places. A friend of mine actually calls us freelance missionaries, where well, we sort of go where the Spirit of God leads us, and then we find things to do and people to hook up with. But a few years back, my wife and I, we moved to Senegal, West Africa, which is a 80% Muslim country, but that has freedom of religion, which is a bit unusual for the Muslim world.
Yeah.
And while we were over there, we met with a lot of different missionary groups, and we really had to educate ourselves on what kind of materials were available to reach the people. And we came across the God Story film, and we started using it in evangelism, and we also started distributing the God Story cassettes. And what God Story is, it's an 8-minute narration, and it's animated, and it basically tells God's story. It tells the Bible in 80 minutes in a story format to where people can grasp it. And the premise of it is from creation to eternity.
Mm.
It's often used as a companion to the Jesus film.
So tell me, this is an animated film that is kind of generically put to animation so that you can include their native language wherever you're at. Is that what we're getting here?
Yes, that's correct. It can be translated in whatever language there is in the world. We use the Wolof version. And while we were there, my wife and I ended up living in Senegal for a year and a half. And we did various work. And we went to Guinea-Bissau, which is another country just south of Senegal. We went up into Mauritania. We went to Sierra Leone and basically did all kinds of evangelism. But the Lord did actually lead us to help direct one young man that came to Christ as a result of our ministry. And then we immediately started giving him God's story. And then he would listen to it every single day and, you know, share it with all his friends and family and, you know, spreading the message everywhere. And, of course, that's a missionary's dream. As a missionary, you want to, even if you only reach a handful of people, to have them carrying on the work that you left behind.
Sure.
And a lot of ways, doing it even better. You know, because that was one of the things that we discovered was that after about a year living there, we thought, well, you know, we could still be in Senegal today. But we just felt just very strongly this idea that our ministry would be far more effective if we, instead of just trying to be the pioneer missionaries ourselves, if we get behind the nationals, the national evangelists, and really begin equipping them with tools that they need for the ministry. Because one of the things that we found was that a lot of ministries will go to Senegal, and we've seen this in other places in the world too, and spend years, you know, translating scriptures or gospel cassettes into certain languages, and then they just sit in a glass cage somewhere waiting for some poor national pastor to come and order them. And my wife and I saw that, and we thought, you know, that is a terrible inequity. And we felt that we can be the donkeys for Jesus. You know, our minds, you know, America's been a great blessing to the world in terms of producing and financing a lot of these materials. Well, we want to get them into the hands of those that will actually use them to reach their people. And so that's kind of been our undergirding philosophy.
You felt like you could blend some ministry tools with ministries and be effective that way. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, for sure. That's what we're doing. We've always been, see, my wife and I, both of us come from an independent church background. We don't have a denominational structure like a lot of missionaries do. And so we're from the independent, non-denominational world.
Yeah.
And that can be, that's a blessing and a curse. you know, the negative side of it is when it comes to, you know, raising support and things like that, you don't have that built-in network of people. You know, you kind of have to make your own way. But the positive side of it is that we're able to mix freely with a lot of different groups, you know, and figure out what works, what doesn't work. It gives us more freedom to be who we are. And see, that's how we've been able to go all over the world to a lot of these different countries. And some of them are countries, you know, where they're experiencing persecution for their faith, and then really kind of get down and work with nationals, see what their needs are, and then find ways that we can meet those needs.
So would you say in order to be an effective missionary, you need to be on the grounds amongst the people to really understand what those needs are?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And pretty much wherever I've been in the world, the needs are almost always fundamentally the same. It's always, we need leadership training, we need materials. You find that across the board, no matter where you go.
Yeah. Well, I think another reason why a lot of us don't get involved is because of the language barrier. And we don't think we can communicate the love of Christ without being able to speak the native language. Is that really something to worry about?
Well, I don't think so. Certainly, not able to speak another language does limit you in some ways, but there's such a variety in the types of missions that people can do that I can use you regardless of what skills you have or what skills you don't have. For example, I was just with a team in Guatemala, and we helped build a school building for a missionary. We went to kind of a remote town, and we worked with a lot of Guatemalan construction workers. They didn't speak English, and we didn't speak Spanish. But when we were done working, we would play soccer together.
Yeah.
And the missionary actually told us, you have no idea how much this has actually touched these people, because they've never had an American team come and visit them. And they saw the joy in your faces and that you were able to connect with them on that level, and this is going to make my job easier. So regardless of whether you have the language skills or not, you know, find what you can do is my advice.
I can't help but think a little bit of, you know, when the Lord asks us to just visit people in prison, take care of those that are sick, you know, just showing up sometimes speaks volumes of God's love for them. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, sometimes, you know, especially, you know, I was in Pakistan a few years ago ministering to Christians because, as you know, they don't necessarily have the best deal living over there. They live in a society that's dominated by Islam and treats them as second-class citizens. You know, and myself and my wife, my father-in-law, we went over there and just speak in their churches just to say, hey, continue with the faith and, you know, we love you. And we were told, you know, this is a big deal for them.
Yeah.
You know, to have someone come and visit them. I mean, picture whatever big name preacher you might think of here in the U.S., so someone that you respect and that they came and visited you in your home. Well, no, I'm not a big name preacher or anything like that, but the fact that we come from all over the world and that we speak to them when really no one else goes to visit them, well, it probably feels a bit like that.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about some of your experiences overseas. So stay with us. We'll be right back. And now a word from Sondra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited.
God told Jeremiah that before he formed him in the womb, he knew him and appointed him as a prophet to the nations. When the Apostle Paul came to know Jesus, he was told that he had been appointed as a servant and a witness, that he should go to Damascus, and there he would be told all that he had been assigned to do. The Bible contains many examples of people called by God to do something specific. In fact, Ephesians says that we're saved by grace to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Psalms tells us that all the days of our lives were written in the book before one of them came to be. Isaiah said he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded, "Here I am, send me." When the Lord asks you, "Who will go for us?" do you say, "Please, Lord, send me"?
For more information about Friendships Unlimited, go to friendships.org. Okay, we're back with Aaron Taylor, the president of the Great Commission Society, found at greatcommissionsociety.com, and he was speaking of some of his experiences overseas doing mission work. Now, Aaron, let's get back to the solar audio players and solar DVD players used in conjunction with the God Story Project, because these have got to be extremely valuable in other cultures where they do more of their communication orally through word of mouth and storytelling. And it's really helping to break down those walls of communication from the West into other cultures, and not even to mention the people that can't read at all. These have got to be extremely valuable, not only to you, but to churches that are in place over there already.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, so many people think that you have to be a great preacher or a great speaker to be used of God around the world. And I'm here to tell you that that's not true. Often what missionaries do nowadays, I feel, the missionary world has changed in that in the past, the dominant role of the American missionary was that of the pioneer. And what we've seen is in the past 10 and 20 years is that that role has gone to more of a servant, coming behind the native evangelist. And often that's just, it's simply a matter of finding a need and filling it, especially in terms of getting the right materials to the people. So, you know, we can be, I call myself a donkey for Jesus. You know, I'm a gopher boy for Jesus, because we get the materials to the people that need them, and then they can do the job.
Okay. Now, what if there's somebody listening that wants to get involved with you? They want to donate some of their time with you. They would like to travel with you, or say they can't travel. Maybe they'd like to give some finances, or there's a corporation that would like to donate some of their excess materials. Would they be able to go through you?
Well, as far as coming under our ministry for tax covering, we're not set up for that. But, you know, supporting our ministry and being behind what we're doing, there's possibilities there. But there's always possibilities of partnerships. And one thing about my wife and I is we're very resourceful in that we've been to a lot of different places in the world. And sometimes people contact us through our website just out of the blue and say, hey, I'm going to this country. Do you know anything about that? And then we're able to help them. You know, we're able to say, yeah, we know what work is going on there, and then we can give advice that way.
Okay.
Our ministry comes under the Gospel Fellowship of Churches and Ministries International, and we're able to come under their 501c3 covering.
Okay.
And we pay for that, but it helps us. It gives us, you know, the accountability, but we don't have all of the headache necessarily of having our own 501c3.
Okay. Now, Aaron, in your travels, because you've seen a lot of stuff that we're not going to see on CNN News and Fox News, where are the real needs for our brothers and sisters?
Well, I would say the Muslim world. That's been a real area that we've kind of specialized in. And although we want to reach anybody and everybody, but I feel like the last great frontier for missions is indeed the Muslim world.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, there's a lot of countries where we have brothers and sisters that are suffering because of taking a stand for their faith. And so I think the biggest need is definitely the Muslim world. And that goes from North Africa. If you picture Africa, think of all of the north, northwest, all the north, and then all of Asia. Those are where the biggest needs are. In the missions world, we call that the 1040 window. It's basically the area from West Africa all the way to the Far East Asia. And then also that would include Indonesia as well.
Well, that's probably because it's one of the most dangerous areas to be a Christian as well, isn't it?
Well, it can be. So you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, as Jesus
okay.
said. I don't recommend going in cold turkey anywhere without contacting someone that's already there.
Okay.
You know, working through maybe an established organization.
That's good wisdom right there.
Yeah, especially, you know, young people that are, you know, zealous and, you know, just want to go. I typically recommend working with an established organization, at least in the beginning.
Okay. Well, I'd like to ask you about an experience or a story that really sticks out in your mind in some of your travels. There's usually one that just melts your heart when you think about it. Can you share that with us?
Well, yes. One of the things, when you travel the world and you take on the life of a traveling missionary, often you come in contact with other worldviews, and it ends up giving you a more fuller understanding of what's going on in the world. And a few years ago, I got involved in a documentary film project called Holy Wars. And basically, they were looking for a representative to represent the Christian side and a representative for the Muslim side.
Okay.
And to make the long story short, they set up a meeting between myself and a radical jihadist in London. And I spent 2 days in a cold, abandoned warehouse in London with cameras on me, which was a lot of pressure. going back and forth, debating, you know, the finer points between Christianity and Islam, and everything from the war in Iraq, the war on terror, Bin Laden in itself, I would say is probably the single most life-defining moment that I've ever experienced.
Would we be able to see any of those videos, or are there clips of it that are available on the internet anyplace? Or
No, not right now.
Okay.
Not right now. They're planning on releasing the film in film festivals this year, and I sort of say that knock on wood. We don't really know.
Okay.
So it has the potential to be seen by a lot of people, but I ended up writing a book about it called Alone with a Jihadist, and it will be released nationwide within the next few months.
Where would people be able to find this book? Alone with a Jihadist?
Alone with a Jihadist, yes.
And where would they be able to find that?
At any local bookstore or all major outlets, Amazon, and go to your local bookstore and they don't have it, they could order it.
Okay. And that's out now, you said, or will be coming out very soon?
It will be coming out very soon. I'm projecting it will be out by June.
Okay. What might we find in that book?
Well, primarily what I discuss in this book is the role that religion playing in sort of this clash, post-9/11 clash between the West and Islam. And the crux of my message is the fact that we really need to have an understanding of what our Christianity looks like from the other side.
Yeah.
How they view us. And, what I've found is that often we condemn violence in the Muslim world, but sometimes we do need to remove the plank from our own eyes and see how we justify a lot of violence as well, under the name of Christianity. And what I saw, the defining moment for me, was that often here in America, we mix our Christianity with sort of Americana.
Yeah.
We sort of turn Jesus into American.
Yeah.
We wrap Jesus in an American flag, and he becomes our tribal deity. And we ask him to bless whatever our government does because we see ourselves as a Christian nation. Hmm. And so really what I'm doing in this book is I'm challenging that mindset to say that, we often take earthly systems, be it democracy, capitalism, or even socialism, whatever it is, and we sort of baptize them, and they become our banner by which we fight.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can have the same religious zeal that the other side has, but we don't really see it because we haven't seen what it looks like from the other side. And so that is by far the most defining missionary experience I've ever had.
Well, that sounds like an interesting read. It never hurts to get a perspective from the other side. So the book's called Alone with the Jihadist by Aaron Taylor, and that will be available in any of the bookstores. Again, this is the time to grab your pencil. Also, the Great Commission Society. Do you have a website for that?
Yes, it's greatcommissionsociety.com.
Oh, that's easy. greatcommissionsociety.com.
And if somebody wants to contact me to speak or for advice or to get a hold of me, you can contact me through my website.
Okay.
There's a place there.
Now, what if people wanted to get involved with you personally and wanted to offer their services overseas? Would they be able to reach you there?
Yes, because that'll go directly to my email. And then if somebody contacts me through my website and begins a dialogue or a conversation, then I can, of course, send my email updates with their permission.
And one more website that we need to give before we go is how to get hold of these God Story video players, DVD players, and audio players that are solar powered that are very effective. Where might they find those?
Okay, I believe it's tgsp.org, the God Story Project.
The GodStoryProject.org.
Well, TGSP.
Okay.
TGSP.org. And then something that goes right along with the God Story Project, which, by the way, I'm not an official representative of the God Story Project. I just love their material, so I can speak, I can promote them.
Okay.
But, I'm not the gospel authority.
And you're not making a commission on it or anything like that.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But along with the God Story Project is Simply the Story, which is a seminar that I have found to be the absolute best school for training nationals, bar none. Because what it does is it takes a simple story in the Bible and teaches you how to facilitate discussion and lead people to discover the treasures of God's Word for themselves. And, here in the West, we often, we're used to hearing 3-point sermons, begin with the letter C, and then we take bits and pieces out of stories to prove the points that we already have established in the first place. And what Dorothy discovered and what she's been teaching others and then, we've been passing along is this idea that if we can take a story from the Bible, regardless of what story it is, and then simply tell that story in its entirety, the way God wrote it in his word, and stay in that story, then the story will speak for itself, and then the story becomes the point.
Amen.
Yeah. So we found that that's a tremendous tool to reach others around the world.
Oh, and it sounds like such a long-lasting tool that spreads itself in the way, well, that's God's word anyways, but through people, now they take that story, what they've learned, what this has been able to impart into their memory, now they can take and share this and turn somebody else share and somebody else share, and it really breaks down a lot of barriers that have stood in the way of sharing the gospel with some of the remote areas anyways.
Oh, it has. And what it's also done is it's strengthened my confidence in God's word. When I look at story and I see how that story is relevant, not just for here, but in all these different cultures. You know, take, for example, you know, Jesus walking on the water, you know, and going to his disciples in the middle of the night. I was sharing that story at a church yesterday, and we did a discussion on it. And, you know, of course, there are wonderful insights that people got out of it about, you know, Jesus will meet you at your time of the need and God's timing and things like that. And then thinking about, wow, what would this story speak to a person that lives in the middle of the jungle somewhere and is only used to traditional religion? Well, it speaks that, wow, Jesus, he's walking on water. Wow, he's not just an ordinary man. He must be God.
It gets you know, real.
Yeah, absolutely. God wrote his word in a way that communicates to every culture. And when you really see, when you see how one simple story can be used in so many different cultures and speak in so many different ways, it strengthens your faith and the efficacy of his word.
Well, Aaron, I'm looking at the clock and we don't have a whole lot of time left. I think we could have talked a lot more about your travels and experiences throughout the world, sharing the gospel, the great news of Jesus Christ with people all over the world. But before we go, can we give that website one more time?
Yes, it's simply greatcommissionsociety.com.
Okay. And the one for the God Story Project?
Yes, tgsp.org.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, a person could always Google God's Story or the God Story Project or simply the story, and then it'll take you right to where you need to go.
Okay. And again, you know, if you don't have a pen or paper and you're driving in your car or something and you missed any of that information, you know, you can always call us here at 433-5022. And that number is repeated at the end of every program. So that information will be available. We have it here for you. You know what, Aaron? I really wanted to start this program with your testimony on how you came to know the Lord because I knew this was going to happen. But unfortunately, it didn't happen and we don't have time for it. Is it included in your book, Alone with the Jihadist?
Well, the first chapter sort of gives my biographical information up until the time of my encounter with this jihadist. To put it simply, I was raised in a Christian home. I loved the Lord for my life growing up. I dedicated myself to world evangelism when I was 15 years old, and I went on a missionary trip to Poland. A missionary named Jack Harris from our church took me, along with some young people, and they did a crusade there, and I saw, you know, the needs of the world and just really, you know, set myself, resigned myself to say, I'm going to be a world evangelist.
Amen.
And, you know, we've had a lot, my wife and I, we've had a lot of bumps in the road along the way, but God has been faithful.
Yeah.
If you determine in your heart to do something for God, he will accomplish that which he's put in your heart.
Yeah, but that can be a little daunting. That can be a little elusive to where we're standing right now. So how would you encourage somebody to really take that step of faith and trust God?
But, you know, I've heard someone say, take the word God. Well, the first two letters is G-O, and then backwards is D-O, go and do. I say just be like Peter and don't be afraid to step out of the boat. And you know, ultimately, if you want to be a missionary here in America, we don't have to go to the world. The world has come to us.
Yeah.
What about the international students at your local college or university or your Iraqi neighbor? You know, we can definitely start right here at home.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Aaron. It's been very, very enlightening. I appreciate you taking the time for it. You're getting ready to take off, aren't you?
Yes. This Friday, I'm going to Cambodia and going to be joining a team of three other men, and we're going to teach simply the story to pastors and missionaries in Cambodia.
Well, God bless you. And listeners, remember to hold Aaron Taylor up in your prayers as he goes out to Cambodia. Thank you all for joining us today on Radio Friendships. We invite you back here tomorrow when we're going to talk about it again, because you can't ever stop talking about how great God is and how wonderful it is to serve him in advancing his kingdom. Have a great day and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.